I'm Mark Grizzell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. Glad to have you along on a Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Dana Gunders. She's a staff scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council and author of the new book, Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, a guide to eating well and saving money by wasting less food. Americans, on average, throw away around $30 of food a month. And Dana's here to help us both save some money and save some food. Dana, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Where did your trek to battle food waste begin, Dana? Because I'm very aware when I'm throwing away leftovers or I bought too much spinach and it begins to get all green and slimy. And I know I constantly battle trying to use all the food I get. But where did your battle begin?
You know, well, for me, it probably began as a child. My parents, my father actually grew up in the Philippines, and my mother grew up in Queens, New York, with parents who ran a lamp store. And between the two of them, I would be totally embarrassed at dinner time because my mom would be pouring water in the pasta sauce to get everything out before serving it for dinner. And my father would sit at the dinner table and kind of snort as he sucked every last bit off the chicken bones. So it was actually pure embarrassment. But as I got a bit older, I started working on agriculture issues, and as part of that, I stumbled upon these numbers that I found shocking, like the fact that 40% of all food in this country never gets eaten, and 25% of all the water that we're using actually goes to grow food that we ultimately never eat. And I found these numbers so startling and felt like, wow, nobody's talking about this. And so that kind of led me to start researching it and write reports on it and ultimately write this book.
Well, when you bring out figures like that and that 40% of all food in the U.S. doesn't get eaten, that fact alone, when you think of so many people who are hungry, it just... well, makes my eyes widen, I guess you could say, Dana. I'm going, what's going on here?
It's true. I mean, in the U.S., there still are 1 in 6 people are still considered food insecure. So it is really kind of tragic to have those two trends happening alongside each other. And actually, we waste about 50% more now than we did back in the 1970s. So it's something that's growing as well. What's going on? It's everything from the lettuce that goes bad in our fridge, the potatoes we leave on our breakfast platter, that product we purchased at the store because we just couldn't resist, but then we don't actually know how to cook it, or we never are actually in the mood for it once we get home. Mm-hmm. So it's really a combination of a lot of things, portion sizes that have grown tremendously as well.
I was going to say, in the book, you point out that it's not farmers or grocery stores or restaurants that waste the most food. It's consumers. It's right at home where most of the waste happens.
It's true. We actually represent the biggest chunk of waste in the food waste pie, if you will. And part of it's because there's so many of us, but I think also, as a general rule, we're not very good about managing our food, you know, and it's interesting because we're so price sensitive when we're in the store. 10 cents will sway us one way or another, and yet somehow we get home and we forget that we spent all this money on this food, and, we do that big fridge clean out every so often and don't really do the dollar calculations to go with it.
You also mentioned that a lot of the food waste has to do with portion size. You made mention just a moment ago about portion size. And when you are getting these larger portions that you just can't finish, then there's food wasted there.
It's true. And portion size, along with waste, has also grown quite a bit over the last few decades. In fact, since 1982, the average cookie has quadrupled in calories.
Wow.
And even the average Caesar salad, chicken Caesar salad, has doubled in calories. So everything seems to have gotten a little bit bigger, and there's only really two things that are happening with those calories. Either we're eating them, and that's not necessarily good to be eating all those extra calories, or we're not, and they're going to waste. And that's true both in our homes and in restaurants.
Speaking with Dana Gunders, author of Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, a guide to eating well and saving money by wasting less food. Details about the book at our website, wvxu.org. So how can we fight this tide of waste, Dana? What can we do as consumers beyond looking at that portion size to begin with? What else can we do to fight food waste?
Well, the good news is it's really not that hard, and there's a lot of easy steps you can take. One is to just be a little bit more conscious with your shopping. So when we're at the grocery store, that's really ground zero. It's where we're making our commitment to food, and I think being more careful there can be extremely helpful later on when you're trying not to waste as much. And for some people, that can mean really planning out your meals and using a shopping list. Not anything novel, but something a lot of us have gotten away from. And if you are not somebody who likes to do that, a shortcut is really just to, before you check out, take a look in your grocery cart and see if there's anything in there where you can't identify the time over the next few days when you're going to be able to eat it. Hmm. If you can't think of a time in the next week that you'll eat that food, then it's probably not worth buying that week. That's one little trick. And then another piece is really storing our food right. You know, if you store your food properly, you can really buy yourself some time, some extra time to use it. And in the book, we actually have a whole directory of about 85 different foods that you can look up exactly the best way to store it. And, you know, artichokes, if you sprinkle water on the end of an artichoke and wrap it in a paper towel, that helps it last longer. Asparagus do well if you stand them up in a jar of water in the door of your fridge. So every product has its kind of little tips and tricks to it. Storing something properly is important as well. And then lastly, not being afraid to get creative in your kitchen and really use things up, kind of shopping your refrigerator before you go back to the store and thinking, what can I make with this for dinner? And we actually have a bunch of recipes in the book that are sort of catch-all, use-it-up recipes and ideas for what to do when you kind of have a smattering of different things in your fridge.
Well, you talk about storage, and I love the section on freezing. I'm a home gardener as well, and I always have more produce than I can give away. Hey, Mr. Zucchini, every summer, and trying to figure out what to do with it. Well, zucchini is not a super example of that, but you talk about how to blanch vegetables and freeze them, and that's something I'd always felt was an obstacle. It's like, oh, I have to work and do that much work to do that? But really, it's not that hard.
It's not. Yeah, blanching, it really helps if you're going to be storing something for a long time. It helps preserve the nutritional value and the taste. And all it really is boiling water and dunking something for, you know, between 30 seconds and 2 minutes. That's really all blanching is. And then putting it in an ice bath afterwards. It sounds fancy because it has its own name, but it's really easy.
Dana Gunders, author of Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, a guide to eating well and saving money by wasting less food. You can find it where books are sold. And a lot of tips in here, Dana. I love it. You lay things out. You have checklists for me to do. The meal planning. You have an example of planning meals where you can use leftovers and plan when you're going to use those leftovers. And some of the recipes you have in the Waste Free Kitchen Handbook. I'll talk about using leftovers, the anything goes soup and the like. What do you think is the quickest, easiest way to stop wasting food for someone who's just beginning to read your book?
Well, you know, probably the quickest and easiest thing is to just understand what the expiration dates on food actually mean. There's a lot of confusion out there that those dates on food are telling you that the food is spoiled or that it's bad or might make you sick, and none of that is true. In fact, those dates are really just a manufacturer's best guess at when the product is at its freshest or its peak quality. You can eat food after those dates, sometimes days, weeks, even months, depending on the product. And, you know, it doesn't take any time or energy, but it just takes knowing that. And if you're somebody who's kind of lived by those dates and really thrown product out on that date, I encourage you to just try it a few days after. Most likely you won't even be able to taste any difference.
I always joke about when my yogurt has expired, you know. I thought it was spoiled to begin with. But you do talk about what is spoiled and what is safe to eat and what is not safe to eat. The browning in apples and bananas and avocados, that's okay. The bruises, if you cut them out, discolored greens, scars, staleness, wilting or wrinkling. Generally, you can still use that food, but what should you steer clear of when it comes to foods and eating them safely?
Yeah, probably the most important thing to steer clear of is mold, which, you know, we do naturally.
Yes.
Mold is one of those things that most molds are fine, but there are a few that really aren't, and it's hard for us to tell which ones they are. So, and they can actually have little roots, and so it's good to cut off. You know, if you have mold on cheese, for instance, make sure that you cut off about half an inch of that cheese to really make sure you're getting all the mold off. But other than that, a lot of the signs of aging for food, you know, we might think that makes the food, quote, bad, but in fact, it's not something that would make us sick, and oftentimes there is something we can do with that food. So, for instance, lettuce, when it gets a little bit yellow or a little bit brown, that's still perfectly fine to eat, and if it's not very appetizing for you, you can actually sauté it, and a lot of times just cooking your vegetables when they get a little bit past their prime can help. I have a recipe in the book for sautéed lettuce, and people get surprised when they see that, but in fact, sautéed lettuce, you know, we sauté all our other greens,
mm-hmm.
So why not lettuce? It comes out quite good. And another is around sour milk. Milk is a product that a lot of people throw out on the date. And in fact, milk is probably one of the safest products out there because it's pasteurized and can easily be consumed, you know, about a week past the date, particularly when it tastes fine. But even if it gets sour, milk can still be used, and we actually have another recipe in the book for sour milk pancakes, because you can cook with soured milk just as if it were buttermilk, and substitute it for buttermilk in recipes.
You also bring it full circle, Dana, in the Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook, where you do have food that you are going to throw away. Don't let it go to the landfill. It can still be useful.
That's right. And you said you were a home gardener, so you might have a compost pile.
Yep, indeed. but I didn't think about feeding some scraps to my dog or dogs or cats, or keeping chickens, too, where you can really have benefits.
Yeah, that's true. We do. We have a whole section in the book that tries to get really creative with your food scraps. And we have, you know, what you can and can't feed to your dog. Or chickens. Chickens are amazing when it comes to food waste. You can just basically give them everything that's not an animal product, and then they just magically convert it into eggs for you. So
yes.
You have the room. They're actually pretty easy to keep. And then also we have all these kind of little experiments that you can do with food scraps. You can actually regenerate some foods from their scraps, like mm-hmm. Green onions and celery, if you just sort of plant the bases that you typically cut off, they will actually regrow that product for you. And then some fun things like how to make a face scrub with coffee grounds and the fact that you can actually polish your shoes with banana peels.
Oh, yes. I've done that before, too, and it does work.
Not quite as well as the guy at the airport, but it does work.
Well, I love all the tips and, you know, the strategies that you offer in the Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook. But it also got me thinking about what the consequences might be if we continue to waste this food. From your scientific perspective, what could the consequences be?
That's a great question. You know, we are facing a world population that is growing very quickly, and the United Nations estimates that by 2050, which is only 25 years from now, or 35 years from now, excuse me, we will need about 60% more food than we have now to feed the population. And, you know, we need to think about where that food's coming from. And we just absolutely can't afford to be wasting so much food. If we do, it's really going to cost us in terms of how much, you know, rainforest needs to be cut down and just intensive agriculture that needs to happen in order to really feed our population. So that's really what's at stake here. And it's just, it's so easy not to waste food. I think, you know, nobody really wants to waste food. It just has is something that has creeped into our lives. It's run under our radar. And I've noticed that really as soon as people start thinking about it, they're naturally able to waste a lot less. So it's been actually, you know, even though it's a serious issue at heart, it's been a really fun topic to work on because there are so many easy, fun ways to address it. And really, when you do, it's you're not only eating fresher, healthier food, but it's tasty and fun and creative. So.
Well, thank you for all the advice and the getting me heading down the right path. I appreciate it, Dana.
Sure thing. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Dana Gunders. Her book is Waste Free Kitchen Handbook, A Guide to Eating Well and Saving Money by Wasting Less Food. 40% of the food in the United States is wasted every year, and you can help change that. Learn more about the book at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.